It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Hurricane Harvey has grown into a Category 4 storm, and it'll slam into the Texas Gulf Coast later tonight, early tomorrow, dumping torrential rains and unleashing triple-digit winds. Governor Greg Abbott warns Harvey will be a major disaster, and he's asked President Trump for a federal disaster declaration. As Hurricane Harvey nears the coast, folks are streaming north to wait out the storm, and that means big business for hotels and truck stops in Dallas and Fort Worth. KERA's Courtney Collins navigated the Sea of Houston evacuees and found a lonely car headed the other way.
Along I-45 south of Dallas, the northbound lanes are a mess. At the Love's truck stop in Hutchins, all Dejakovic cares about is the smooth sailing southbound.
Our home is in Rosenberg, Texas, actually, so it's like southwest of Houston, and we live there, so we're just going to hunker down.
Kovic's six-year-old daughter, Anastasia, had been staying with family in Kansas, so mom picked her up and started south. They did stop for supplies in Denison, though, to avoid the cleaned-out stores near Houston.
Several gallons of water, and we have lots of canned food, crackers, soups that are non-perishable, things that are going to be easy to boil on a grill if necessary, if we don't have any power.
That's what the throngs coming up from the south are trying to avoid. Philip Larson is from the Woodlands and says he just couldn't risk staying home.
Being stranded in the house, maybe damage and not having electricity. My parents are in their 80s. I thought probably be the wisest thing just to get them out of town.
Larson and his parents aren't the only carload headed to a Dallas hotel. Perla Lacona and 15 of her family members are doing the same thing.
My house is in a flood zone, so we just decided to don't risk it. I have a baby, and we're just going for a few days to Dallas.
Lacona lives in Pasadena, a suburb southeast of Houston. She's called the area home for years and still shudders when she thinks of the flooding from Tropical Storm Allison back in 2001.
My house was flooded with Allison 3 feet. Whenever it rains a few inches, it floods a little bit the street. With, 12 inches? I don't want to risk it.
A ton of people agree, which explains the interstate full of northbound sedans, SUVs, pickups, minivans, and direct from Mount Bellevue, Texas, Marilyn Bird, her giant RV, and...
This is little Miss Molly. Molly, say hello.
One very well-behaved Yorkshire Terrier. Courtney Collins, KERA News.
The city of Dallas has opened the Walnut Hill Recreation Center for residents fleeing Hurricane Harvey. The shelter on Midway Road can house 500 people. Dozens had arrived earlier this afternoon. Other shelters could open across North Texas if needed. And today, I'd think, colleges across the country have been plagued with instances of on-campus sexual assault. In Waco, Baylor University has been at the forefront of the controversy after a number of rapes, some at the hands of football players, were uncovered. ESPN reporters Paula Levine and Mark Slaybaugh investigated the sexual assaults. They talked with Chris Boyd about how the culture at Baylor contributed to the problem.
One thing that really stands out about Baylor is that it is the world's largest Baptist university. And there was a real barrier because of that Christian mentality. They were having a hard time acknowledging that their students were doing anything bad. This is a campus where they didn't even allow dancing until the late 90s. So they had a real strict policy against drinking. They frowned on even having consensual premarital sex. So for them to acknowledge that students were drinking and that there was violent gang rape happening, violent sexual assault, physical assault, there was a real attitude of this sort of stuff doesn't happen here.
There was a 1950s mentality among a lot of the administrators there, and those were the words of the trustees. When women were assaulted, they were reluctant to go to the administrators because they feared that they would be disciplined if they were out drinking, if they were out at off-campus parties. There were people there that have worked there for 40 or 50 years that just weren't trained to handle investigating sexual assaults.
Paula Levine and Mark Slaybaugh are the authors of Violated. They'll talk about their investigation tomorrow afternoon at 2 at Books A Million in Grapevine. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 9, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. The Dallas Museum of Art is waiting to hear whether this summer's Frida Kahlo look-alike contest officially set a Guinness World Record. There's no disputing the crowd. More than 5,000 Frida wannabes showed up. The contest was the brainchild of two so-called dreamers. In a weekly State of the Arts conversation, KERA's Vice President of Arts, Ann Bothwell, finds out how immigration activism led them to art.
Jose Santoya, Ramira Luna, welcome to KERA.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
What made you think about getting people to dress up like Frida?
This is Ramiro. It was for many reasons. One of the main reasons was that I wanted to see people really embracing our community and our culture, and no better way to do so than through an icon. And also, to me, it also played with the gender dynamic roles. To me, I was like, you know, what would be interesting would be to have people dress up as a heroine from our culture, Frida Kahlo, an icon, and I would love to see men do so as well. I personally put on a dress for the first time in my life, and, you know, to me, it was just a very good symbolic way of bringing not only different genders to celebrate an icon, but different communities as well.
There were some critics of this event who said it was an example of cultural appropriation. Jose, how do you respond to that?
Obviously, we're both Mexican, of Mexican origin, even though we grew up here in the U.S., and this is where we've been most of our lives. This wasn't a cultural appropriation. This was a cultural celebration, and we wanted to bring everybody to come together and celebrate this culture.
You both have protection from deportation now under the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA. You've both been really active in immigration reform. Why take time out for an art project?
To me, it was therapy in a sense, because it allowed me to take away a moment from politics, but it also was us fighting for the same thing, which is appreciation, acceptance through activism. Our tool is consciousness, shifting the consciousness of people. And I think art is a great way to bridge different ideas and understand that humanity is all the same.
The Mexico show at the DMA was the second biggest show the museum has ever had. Why do you think it was so popular?
Honestly, I think it was, for one, the art. It was one of the most impressive collections that we have seen brought to the United States. Also, I think the timing was great. I think in this time in which, you know, there's so much misunderstanding of the Mexican community, what great way to really understand our culture than through our art. And lastly, it was through a very strong marketing campaign. We were very deliberate in making sure that young Mexican kids were going. That, to me, that was my dream, to see somebody like my parents who haven't seen their art in years because they can't. I myself cannot go to a museum and see a reflection of me in art. And this was one of my few opportunities to do so. So we wanted to make sure that, you know, in our community, they took advantage of that.
Do you have a personal connection with art outside of this event?
After graduating SMU, I never saw myself working in the arts like I'm doing now. I never expected to. Now that I get to learn about art every single day, different forms of art, I think that it's in many ways also an escape from the reality that we have to face. Right, you turn on the news and you hear language being used against you because of where you were born or because of your race or your gender. So I think being able to bring people together, it gives you that gratifying feeling, and it also allows you to shelter yourself from, you know, all of the craziness that we have to experience.
With me, I never saw myself being as intricately involved with art. But as Jose mentioned, this was an amazing opportunity to see an escape and still be able to fight for what we're fighting for through a different mode.
Thank you both so much for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you for the invitation.
Check out our coverage from the summer's Frida Kahlo Lookalike Contest at artandseek.org. And in the weather, as Hurricane Harvey makes landfall overnight, parts of the Texas Gulf Coast could see 20 inches of rain. People to the north and northeast of Harvey's eye may even experience tornadoes. Austin and San Antonio could see 6 to 12 inches of rain. We'll see less rain here in North Texas. The National Weather Service says the DFW area could see isolated heavy rainfall. Areas to the north, like Collin and Denton counties, will likely see just light showers. For the latest on Hurricane Harvey, go to KERANews.org. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.